This is the EWN Radio Network. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and business coach. Join Steve and his guests to get answers to your questions and help break through to the next level in your business.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. Thank you for being here with us. I appreciate the time that you take out of your life to spend some time here with us, really learning and growing, both as people as well as business people. Today, we're going to help you learn some secrets, how to really truly soar, how to take yourself to heights that maybe even seem impossible to you right now, but I promise you they are. For those of you that are listening live, you know, I'm just so wired. It's been an amazing last week for us. We had four people become best-selling authors. A couple of them actually were international best-selling authors, multiple categories. It's been a whirlwind of a week. And yet, I look forward so much to our time that we get together. I'm going to bring to you one of those best-selling authors today to be able to really talk about her book and what it means to the world. And then I also have for you a special treat for anybody that knows marketing, our absolute Yoda, the guru of marketing, as far as I'm concerned, Jennifer Kim from ChemCom. She is going to rock your world. You need to have a marketing plan. You need to be marketing your business. And Jen is the guru. I mean, seriously, you guys are going to be blown away by how easily and how practically she will flip your entire world and your business on its ear. So like I said, we want to start off today talking about soaring on the heels of your adversity to really take your life to bigger, to greater, to higher heights so that you can live your best life ever, because that's the secret sauce to really thriving as an entrepreneur. In life, often we have problems. It would be nice if we went through life and it was just soaring on the wings of eagles and everything went smoothly every day. But the truth of the matter is that it's really more like we're soaring on the wings of adversity, or as our author today likes to call it, soaring on the heels of adversity. I'd like you to join with me and welcome Chevelle McPherson. Hi, Chevelle. How are you doing today?
Hi, Steve. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I love the little play on words you've got there. And, you know, you've got the little heel that's in the book. I like how you, alluded to the fact that you can be a strong and powerful woman and still soar with the eagles.
Yes. Yes, that's absolutely true, Steve.
So tell us a little bit about what you do in life. Tell us about what you do for a living.
Okay, well, I am a trial attorney. I have my own law firm. Prior to going into private practice, I was an assistant district attorney for the city of Philadelphia, and I prosecuted cases in the municipal court unit, and then I was in the juvenile unit, and then all the way up until the major trial unit. And in that capacity, I conducted jury trials and basically prosecuted cases involving crimes in Philadelphia.
Wow.
So that's my background. And then after about 4 years in the prosecutor's office, I decided to go into private practice. And I actually now represent people, the defendants, who are accused of committing those crimes. So I started off prosecuting defendants, and now I'm actually representing defendants. So it's interesting, but I've learned a lot on both sides of the spectrum with respect to the legal system.
Mm. And of course, we always think of, because we've watched too much TV, the stereotypical life of a lawyer, but I know from having read your book, life hasn't always been necessarily just that wonderful TV thing that you see on, you know, old shows, Law and Order, or newer ones, you know, that are out these days.
That's correct, Steve. Life has not always been pleasant for me. And that's one of the reasons why I decided to write a book, because most people have come to learn about me in my capacity as an attorney. And most people respect me, and most people look at me as successful, and most people are motivated by me, and they think I, you know, am living just an awesome, fabulous life. And at the end of the day, I have been blessed, and I do have a successful practice, and I do enjoy practicing law. But one of the things that I came to learn in the course of my career and just in life in general is that people are facing different adversities. And it's not just my clients facing legal adversities, but there are people facing obstacles in life in general. I mean, there are people out here who are facing unemployment issues, job issues, health issues, all type of issues and adversities. And the difference between the people who overcome those adversities and the people that don't is pretty much a mindset. And once I realized that there is a big segment of the community that of people that are just not walking in their greatness, and they're just not excelling to their full capacity. It's generally because they let these adversities get them down. They let these adversities strap them, as opposed to letting these adversities fuel them. And that's what I had to do in my life. I did not just had an easy walk in the park growing up. I faced health issues. I talk about it in the book. I faced issues with employment issues. I've been terminated from a job. I faced a teenage pregnancy when I was in high school. I faced a situation where I had an opportunity to attend law school, I decided I had to actually relocate to maximize that opportunity. And because of these different adversities that I faced, they allowed me to actually realize that I have, and we all have, certain character traits that we were wired with, that we were born with. And if we just ignite those character traits, if we just change our mindset and we start to look at these adversities as sort of opportunities for us to do something great, then we can all overcome these various issues as they pop up in life, and we can all become successful. Successful people aren't just the smartest people in the world. Successful people are generally people who have overcome their tragedies, their adversities. They have not let those situations and those adversities destroy them. They haven't let depression set in. They haven't let all of the negative chatter take over. They realized at some point, as I did, that you have to become fueled, and you have to, you know, set your energy on fire. You have to change your mindset. And once you do that, and you will overcome these adversities, and you can soar in life. And that's pretty much why I decided to write this book, because I want people to understand that adversities are going to show up. The issue is, what are you going to do when they show up? Are you going to let them destroy you? Or are you going to let them fuel you? And I am encouraging everyone and trying to inspire everyone to allow these adversities to fuel you, so that you can step into your greatness, that you can overcome, so that you can soar beyond the hills of these adversities.
I think that's awesome. I know that in the book you have 8 character traits that you talk about, and people need to get the book so that they can learn all 8 of them. But tell me, what is your favorite out of the 8?
My favorite one is, well, I have to have one because I have 2, but I'll give you my favorite one is drive. That's my favorite character trait, because I believe that drive is essential. We have to turn our energy up. We have to realize that we can do whatever we want. And if we ignite this drive character trait, you can have such an awesome life. I know for me, when I first, and I talk about this in the book, when I first ignited my drive trait and I realized that I had to become driven, to become more, to not have a mediocre life, to be able to go on and give my son more, to just become the most successful person that I can. Once I decided to ignite that drive trait, and once I realized I had it in me, it became contagious. For instance, I decided to when I was driven, I decided, okay, I must go to college. And after I decided to go to college, I met other people who were driven and goal-oriented. And then I decided I'm going to go to law school. I'm going to get my real estate license. I'm going to do – there's so many things that I did after I ignited that drive trait. And I think that once you become driven, it's really, really hard to let something stop you. So if I have to have one favorite trait, it has to be drive, because drive can take you – so far in life. Most people don't get where they're trying to go or where they could be, or they don't even reach their maximum potential in life just because they don't have drive, just because they don't have the motivation to be driven to do it. So if you can ignite that trait, I think that you can do almost anything. You can soar beyond anything in life if you ignite your drive.
Well, and just so the other seven of the traits, don't feel bad. We do love each of them too, and you really do need to get sore on the heels of adversity by Chevelle McPherson. It is an awesome book to help you really just take your life and especially your business, whether you work for a company or you want to start your own company, fundamental, foundational keys to really, truly having a successful life in business. Chevelle, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about your book. I encourage everybody to get sore on the heels of adversity. Chevelle, thanks for being here with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Steve.
Are you ready to soar? Are you ready to grab Chevelle's book and really learn the 8 character traits that you need to really, truly be able to soar? I hope so. And I hope that right after this commercial break, you will be right back with us, because as I promised, Jen Kim is going to rock your world. We're going to take you out of this world business-wise by giving you some marketing tips that will transform your business like nothing ever before. So check out these commercials and then stick around, because we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of, or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. And let's start the conversation.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. So today we want to talk about the number one most important aspect of your business that you probably are most likely to take off of your list of to-do things every time you feel tight in money, and that's marketing. And I can tell you right up front, that is the worst thing you want to do, and yet it's so easy, especially for new businesses. So to help us with that, I'm joined by an absolute master. If there is a Yoda in the marketing world, this lady is it. I'm here today with Jen Kim, and she's going to talk to us today about marketing and just how powerful it can be for your company. Hi, Jen. Thanks for being here with us today.
Hey, Steve, thank you so much for having me on your show and with your audience. And hey, anybody who calls me Yoda is my kind of guy, so I appreciate you so much. I don't know if you know how much I love Star Wars, but right there, you have me as a lifer now.
Oh, all right, good. You always take the risk. You know, I mean, there's those few people that are like, I can't believe he uses Star Wars reference about me, but you know.
I love it.
So, Jen, for those that you're new to them, tell us a little bit about your background and what got you to this point in your career.
Oh, well, you know, gosh, it's such a long winding yarn, Steve, but I'll try to give you the cliff notes. You know, I tell people that I am not a spring chicken. I am a seasoned chicken. I've been in this marketing game for 17 plus years now, and I'm grateful that for some reason this became my path. You know, originally, Steve, I had no desire to be, well, I didn't, that's not true, not no desire. I didn't know I had a desire to be in marketing and building brands. But I found out early on when I got off my beaten path, if you will, I thought I originally wanted to be a lawyer. I'm kind of glad I didn't become one. Although I will say that persuasion and influence, which are hallmarks of a lawyer, are hallmarks of a good marketer as well. And when you become a good steward and expert at persuasion and influence, you become a very powerful person. And I love that you said Yoda, because Yoda was on the good side of the Force, and I truly believe marketing can be used for good or evil. And you know, I found out very early on that, you know, managing influence allows people to again create outstanding results for people. And that's what I was attracted to right out of college. I'm actually from Honolulu, Hawaii. I still live here. Now, I haven't lived here my entire adult life, but part of my story. But one of the things is, when I went to school, which I went to school in Silicon Valley, and one of my first jobs out of school was as a junior copywriter at one of the biggest ad agencies in the world. And I was fortunate enough to also work on the biggest brand in the world at the time, which is Coca-Cola International. And by the way, for some of your listeners, Coca-Cola still has the highest brand equity of any company internationally. It's the biggest global brand in the world. It has retained its status like that forever, basically. And it's what really turned me on and cut my teeth into marketing and made me go, oh my gosh, like, I love this, you know? And so I really worked in the corporate world for a number of years, Steve, you know, companies like Oracle and Microsoft, and then for quite a few startups in Silicon Valley during what I call the first phase of the Silicon Valley boom. These were the years at eBay and, I'm going to age myself here, but eBay and a lot of like, and AOL was big back then, but they were, you know, building multi-billion dollar brands. And I was part of that whole movement. And then I decided that I wanted to raise my kids in a place that where they could have the same values. And for a woman who was highly ambitious but loved being a mother, I knew that the only way for me to do that would be to return back home to Hawaii, where they could get their roots the same as mine. And I also knew that if I came back to Hawaii, there was no way I could make this multiple six-figure salary that I was making as a marketing executive at the time. And so I knew at that point, Steve, the only way that I could do that was to build a business. Like, I had to leave the corporate world and start a company, which scared the living daylights out of me. But I also knew that because I had learned how to be a masterful marketer, that my chances were higher than other people. And I think I want to get people to understand that, which I'll talk about, you know, as we have our discussion back and forth. But marketing really, for me, I found was the key to my ability to transition from the corporate world over to owning a small business. And interestingly, this is not all flowers and glitter, okay? When I first jumped off to start my own company, I didn't start in the marketing, consulting, or branding world, which I probably should have, looking back. What I did is I decided to build a brick and mortar business in a niche that I knew was being left as a gap in Hawaii. And Hawaii being such a regional, isolated place, this is a great place to start a business if you have something new and the market doesn't have. And so I went into this specialty retail business that was doing amazing, Steve, for 2.5 years. And I was, by the age of 33, I was a multimillionaire in this business, and it was a retail business. I owned 3 stores, and we turned over product like nobody's business. It was amazing. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that I had the right niche and I was a good marketer. But then something called 2008 happened, and I don't know if you're familiar with, I'm sure you are, everybody got impacted by 2008, which is when we had the Great Recession. And anybody who was specifically in retail or real estate hurt more than others. And I happened to be in both businesses and basically lost everything 2 days before Christmas in 2008. Like literally had zero money to my name because all of my bank accounts were frozen because I was under litigation and all kinds of problems that had to do with my real estate and my retail businesses, which was, you know, it's a longer story than we have time for, but let's just say that that was my rock bottom. And, you know, after a year and a half after that, deciding on how I was going to pull myself out of it, the answer was marketing. And I started knocking on doors and decided that I was going to build a consulting practice around my knowledge of marketing and building brands and around the fact that I had this knowledge base from big companies and knew how to translate that conversation to small businesses. And that's where I am now. So, Steve, I own this, you know, I own a marketing digital branding agency called ChemCom, and we specialize in helping business owners get seen, get heard, and get paid using all levels of marketing and influence. And I specifically am excited about what I get to do right now, which is mentor other small business owners to become, you know, CEOs, to learn how marketing and marketing helps them build a brand, not just get them, you know, money from month to month, but really helps them build an enterprise minded type of business. And now I'm proud to say that, you know, with this long winding yarn of a story, which there's plenty more under it, that I have more profit and more income than I've ever had because of the fact that I've learned how to leverage marketing every single time. So marketing to me is my favorite thing, and I know how much it helps people.
Well, and one of the things I love about your story, the different times and the different ways I've heard it, you know, there's one core part of it that you always make sure people understand, and that's that everything that you've learned stays with you, regardless of what happens in 2008 or, you know, downturns in your business or those kind of things, if you learn to apply the knowledge that you have. And it's so important because I think a lot of times people think that if they can just build their business to 6 figures or 7 figures or something, that then life is going to be perfect, rather than realizing, hey, no, you know, that just gets you into the game so that you can then play at a bigger level and possibly have bigger failures some days, you know.
Oh my gosh, the bigger the failure, the bigger the breakthrough, really, as long as you decide that that particular thing won't keep you down, right, Steve? I mean, and it's not easy because there are so many emotions. I say that owning a business and launching things in your business is the best personal development training you could ever have, you know, because entrepreneurship is the gutsiest thing you could ever do. I really believe that. And if you have the courage to start a business and to be able to see that your failures are excellent predictors of how you overcome, you know, the dips in your business, and there will be dips. I don't know any person ever. I've never met a person who's been successful in business say that, oh yeah, it was just smooth sailing the whole time. You know, there's always going to be dips. There are times you're going to face, you know, Sophie's choices, I call them, in your business, where you have to, you know, pick the lesser of two evils to make it that particular month. And then there's going to be times where you're going to be really just acing it. And you want to keep doing that without losing sight of the bigger picture. And that's actually why some people fail too, is because that's what happened to me. Because people go, oh, how did you lose it all? You didn't see that coming. And I'm like, no, I saw it coming. I just ignored it because I thought that I could overcome it. And there's this awareness and this awakeness that you have to have as a business owner. You have to look at the past, look at what it's teaching you, apply what not to do in the future, right, from those lessons, and then also get the right education and take the actions required to continue to learn how to be successful.
Well, we're really glad that you did, go forward and come back into the marketing world, because all of us that are anywhere in your sphere love being able to go through the different things that you teach. If you haven't already, grab yourself a pen and paper. More great tips to come for you here on Thriving Entrepreneur with our special guest, Jen Kim.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. I'm here with Jen Kim. We are talking today about how to help your business soar by using your marketing properly. So let's jump into it. Let's talk about marketing. I know we love it and I know you love it. Help somebody who is new at their business and doesn't really understand what marketing is, understand what is marketing and why is it so intricately needed in your business.
Okay. So, well, I have a very specific definition of marketing, and I say that marketing is the psychology of human consumption. So it's basically learning why people consume things and whether those things are tangible or not, like tangible meaning, you know, consumer products, cars, houses, you know, silverware, you know, clothes. And then non-tangible, which are things like education and investments and you know, other things like activities for their kids, you know, whatever. So marketing is really the psychology of why people consume those things. And why does that matter to a small business owner? Well, that means everything for you, because if people aren't consuming what you have to offer, then no one knows that you exist as a business, okay? And so marketing is the way to get people to know that you even exist in the world, that you're there to help them solve a problem or give them something that they desire or need. And so becoming a master marketer is important, because as a small business owner, again, a lot of us are great at creating products and services. We're masterful creators And that's great. That's awesome. That's what makes you wanting to be an entrepreneur. But what makes you a business owner, what makes you a CEO, and there is a difference between an entrepreneur and a CEO. What makes you a CEO is somebody who's going, I am constantly needing to test and find the people who I can help. And the way to find the people that you can help is to be good at marketing, because you're allowing those creative things that are living inside of you, inside of your company, to be shown outside of you and put in front of people to make decisions on if they want to consume what you've got or not. You have to be able to put it out on the platter and let them eat it. You know what I mean? And as a marketer, it's important to learn how to put out a buffet and to go, where are people really emptying the bowls on the buffet, right? Like, where is that area of the buffet that people are like, that's what I want? And then you can hyper-focus your activities on refilling that bowl. Does that make sense? Like, and to me, when you become good at marketing, that's what you're looking for. And marketing can be a very, it kind of can be a catch-all, right? Just like brands can be a catch-all. Because some people think marketing is just, you know, oh, marketing is, you know, advertisements, or marketing is online advertising, or marketing is brochures and business cards and flyers, right? Well, yeah, those are all what I call mechanisms of marketing. So these are all ways that you can showcase what you have to people who need you. But what really people don't get as a small business owner is that mindset of a marketer, which is really important, because just creating stuff to put in front of people is that's actually the second part of the equation. The first part of the equation is to put that mindset on around, I'm building a buffet here, right? And I need to test to see which plate or bowl sells out, if you will. Like, what's the thing that they really want to consume? And then I'll create the mechanisms that they get delivered the food in that bowl, if you will, right? So that they'll consume it more. And I'm going to test those things out. And so it's that I think that a lot of people get confused around marketing. And to me, that's, if you can learn the mindset of being the buffet line and then create the mechanisms to help, you know, refill that, that's to me what marketing is. Just like branding, people get that in my mind. It's become a catch-all. I believe that, you know, aesthetics, or like the graphical components of design that people think of it with branding, that's just the smallest piece of building a brand. A brand is about like the who you are and why people follow you, and why would people be super excited to recommend your product or service. And creating that type of culture of irresistibility, if you will, that's what building a brand is about. And if you can be a good marketer, you'll build a good brand, right? And you'll have a great business. So that's how I describe marketing.
Well, I love that definition of it too, because there are so many falsehoods, I don't know what other word to use for it, that are out there that surround the elements of marketing. You know, phrases that I'm sure you cringe when you hear too, where, you know, people say things like, word of mouth is the best form of advertising, you know, and things
right.
like that. And marketing is that concept of, you know, really having an on-purpose conversation rather than just hoping that people are going to talk to you. The one I love to use as an example is Kleenex. Everybody's familiar with Kleenex. So much so that if you want a facial tissue, if you grab, you know, Puffs or some generic thing from the Dollar Tree or whatever, you are probably going to refer to it as a Kleenex. But Kleenex is a brand, and their marketing came in and they have, you know, used it in such a way that it's become part of our language. I mean, that's what all of us have as a holy grail for marketing is like, I want to have something that becomes part of the English language when people talk.
Yes. Yes, very much so. Q-tips, Kleenex, Xerox, right? I mean, those are all great examples. That's a great one.
Well, and you talked about Coca-Cola. I mean, that's a perfect example, because 9 times out of 10, if somebody's going to order any type of soda at a restaurant, regardless of what their preference is, they're probably going to ask for a Coke.
Right. Right.
So I think that's really important for a person to understand that, and why I started off the segment by saying, you know, marketing is something that is so easy to let go in people's minds. You know, we have our budget, and I'm going to ask you here in a second, what percentage, in fact, I'll ask you right now since I brought it up, what percentage of your budget should be marketing?
Mm-hmm. Great question. I get this asked this a lot. The minimum you should be looking to allocate. So notice I said minimum. Okay. To marketing is 18% of your budget. Okay. Of your operational cost of doing business. And that's just a, you know, and again, it depends on the kind of business you have, the kind of profit margins you have. You know, if you have hard products, you have usually smaller margins than what I call, you know, service-based businesses, but 18% or more, 18% to about 30%, to be honest with you, Steve. And I love that you said up front that people seem to, that would be the first strike when times are hard, if you will, in your business, you're in that dip, as I described it. But you know what? I'm going to tell you straight up, do not eliminate your marketing budget when you're not doing well. In fact, that's the last place you should cut. You should be looking at other areas of your business to cut, like maybe on the production side. You know, those are times when you might want to do a flash sale or whatever, but don't, you know, if you look at businesses that even thrived through the Great Recession, those that did, they did not reduce their marketing budget. They kept it, or they even threw more budget at it, because when things are not going well, you have to even more so get the noise out there. You got to make more noise, get more visibility outside of you when things are tough. And then you also have to be willing, of course, to pick up the phone and do things that you probably don't even want to do at all during your business, which is a separate question. But really, marketing is not that area that you want to reduce. It's what you would actually want to keep, preserve, or even increase during hard times.
Think about the marketing for your company like you do about drinking water. It's one of those essential things that you have to do every day. And if you do it, you'll be okay. And if you don't, you will begin to get sick as a business very quickly. We're going to take our last commercial break here real quick, and then we'll be right back on Thriving Entrepreneur. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. I'm here with Jennifer Kim. We're talking about soaring in your marketing and how to take your business to the next level by doing the most important part of your business, and that's marketing. You know, it's interesting because I'm working on a book with a good friend of ours. I know you know Lee Richter, too. Lee is talking about in her book back in 2008, that time that you talked about back in your story, where vendors would actually come into their veterinary clinic and the clinic would be full. And they're like, how come you guys still are having business when other places that I'm bringing products and materials to are, you know, struggling and or even closing down? And Lee's answer to him is, it's because of the marketing that I did for the last 5 years, so that when the economy downturned, I already had built the platform for us to be okay during this time.
Yes, bingo. Exactly.
And that's really, and that's part of the reason why that whole, 18 to 30% budget just needs to be in your budget every single day, every single month, every single year, because what you're doing now is what not only builds the message now, but it's what's building the whole platform for everything you do throughout all of the future. And when you stop it, I don't know what statistic you've learned. I've heard actually that if you stop marketing, it's going to take you a minimum of 90 days to just restart the engine. You know, it's like starting a cold car kind of a thing.
Totally. I mean, in fact, you know, Steve, I know you're familiar because, you know, we've been friends for a while now and business colleagues for a while, your wife, Kathy, as well. And, you know, that's why I created Momentum Pro, which is one of my signature programs, because the truth is that to keep momentum, you have to keep momentum. You know, there is an exponential/compounding interest on momentum. By keeping yourself out there, the momentum of your activities and your voice of the platform that you've built will sustain itself during hard times, as you mentioned for Lee Richter, and it's done it for me as well. It's how, even like during the time after 2008, the reason that doors opened for me quicker than they probably would have is because people knew of me as being a masterful marketer and then realized, oh, well, yeah, I mean, if you're now helping us, you know, teach us how to become that, then I believe in that, you know? And that's just so true. All your marketing activities are not just about now, they're about what's next. And you don't know who's watching, to be honest with you too. Steve, like so many times people you're never going to get 100% enrollment into your marketing efforts, but there are plenty of people watching what you have going on, and it might not be the time for them right now, but that if you stop marketing, they would forget. In fact, one of the things that I say is that if marketing is not just a tool for you to get seen and heard, but it's a tool for you not to get forgotten, which in today's noisy world is very important, because there's just so much noise that you have to rise above the noise by not being forgotten. Very easy to get forgotten nowadays unless you're creating a deep impact, and you have to not wait for that. You have to start today. You have to start marketing yourself today. Even if you don't have the knowledge on marketing, marketing is simply just every day putting yourself out there some kind of way that speaks to what you help people with, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember when I was first learning marketing, talk about dating yourself. At the time, the big thing was those little postcards you get in the mail, you know, that everybody throws away or they don't even get anymore, because who has mail anymore, right? I remember back then, the statistic was that you had to send 5 letters to a person before you ever even got their attention. That was how you started the conversation. And I heard recently, in fact, it may be your statistic from the event that Kathy was just at that you did, it's something like what now, 12 or 14 times that you have to be in touch with a person before you really have engaged them in that conversation?
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's why we shouldn't get frustrated at the first or second pass of not hearing back, because people, yeah, we're so busy. I mean, Steve, I know you live a busy life. You're running a business, right? And me too. And other people have their, you know, we've got kids, just a million things going. And so it's really important to, sometimes people, you know, I would say if you want to become a masterful marketer, you got to stop taking things so personally. And trust me, it's not easy, because even I'm like, oh, somebody didn't open my email, that was a good one. Or, you know, like I get the same kind of way when I look at, like, when I do my own marketing efforts. But the truth is that people sometimes are just super busy. And so you have to stay in contact with them and be patient. I call it patient urgency. So, you know, on one hand, being definitely urgent in making sure that you get past the gremlins in your head to put yourself out there, even if you think you're not prepared enough yet. But it's also about being patient in the outcome, because it does take 8+ or even up to 14+ times, as you mentioned, Steve, to get people to react. And that doesn't necessarily have to do with the fact that your stuff isn't good. It's just, you know, there's various reasons why people don't open stuff or read stuff or react to stuff. And so you just have to keep putting it out there and testing to see, again, which bowl gets emptied first. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Mm. Well, and the worst thing of that whole thing would be to stop the message, stop the marketing, stop refilling the bowl, whatever way you want to look at it, right before the time that person's going to make a buying decision. So, you send them, let's say it's an obnoxious number. Say you have to send them 20 emails before they take action. What if you only sent them 19?
Exactly. You've ever seen that photo of the guy who's, picking his axe, at this underground tunnel, and he literally gives up, one more swing at the axe where the diamonds are, back to, Alexander Graham Bell did not, invent the telephone overnight. He failed dozens and dozens and dozens of times. Thomas Edison, failed over 100 times to discover the light bulb. You have to be, as a marketer or as a business owner, I think one of your most important jobs or roles is to be a marketer of your company, especially when you're just starting out. And you always have to have this mindset of trying things and to see what, again, the people want to consume. And if you have a mindset of Babe Ruth, I talk about Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth was the top hitting baseball, home run hitter of all time, but he also was the biggest strikeout because his whole thing was every time I strike out, I'm closer to a home run. So it's that kind of mindset and willingness to do that, which will put you ahead of everybody else in your game, guaranteed.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not swinging the bat, in fact, this might be a direct Babe Ruth quote. If you're not swinging the bat, you're not going to get a hit. You can stand
exactly.
there and watch a million pitches go by you, but until you take a swing, there's no way to get even on base, let alone a home run.
Right.
Well, Jen, I would be remiss if I didn't give people an opportunity to know how can they go deeper with you. There's only so much we can cover in an hour long show with commercials and stuff. But what could a person do to get in contact with you and take it deeper to learn more about marketing?
Well, thanks, Steve. So you can go to my website, JenniferKem.com. And I actually have a free resource called The Brand Map, which is a 72-page book, really, on how to build a brand that gets seen, gets heard, and gets paid. And it's all about marketing and building a brand. So I'd love to invite your listeners to go check that out. It's completely free. And you can also find me on Facebook. We have a free Facebook group that's really great called the Paid to Be You Posse. It's for anybody who's looking to, again, get paid to do their great work in the world, paidtobeyouposse.com. That URL will actually bring you straight to the Facebook group and you can join. And I'm in there every day and doing prompts and videos and all kinds of great content that will help you become a better marketer.
Well, and I can tell you from experience, Jen does a lot of really fun challenges that are totally free. Kathy's been in a million of them and I've, done some of them as well. And, they're free. They're usually Periscope based or Facebook Live these days. But they're a lot of fun. You can really go a long ways in a week long challenge with Jen too, to really understand an element. And like you said, they're fun. We've had a blast with a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I really enjoy that level of engagement. And I think that challenges allow you to piece together a process that'll help you, again, do better in the world, in whatever your vocation is. And so it is one of my most favorite ways to get the audience in action.
So, Jen, there are so many things. We could fill up a decade of radio shows of tips and tricks and things that a person can do. But what would be the one thing that if you can't tell anybody else anything else about marketing, what's the one thing that they absolutely should do that they could start doing right now today?
Well, gosh, I could give so many answers, but the one thing that you could do right now is take a look at what you have. You don't need anything new. Literally take a look at all of the things, write down a list, just brain dump it all the things that you're great at, all the ways that you help people, all the things that help support who you know your customer or what your customer needs. I just want you to just put that all down on a piece of paper. Take about 5 minutes. And then I want you to take every single thing that you put on that list. I guarantee you there's at least 10, probably 30 things, okay? And look at your calendar for the next 30 days. And I want to invite you to write a topic or do a quick video on Periscope or Facebook Live around that topic of how you help people. And that's how you can create 30 days of content, marketing content, right now that will help people learn more about who you are. And then don't forget, after each one, make sure you tell them how they can learn more about working with you or buying your products. And it's not a full-on like, here, buy my stuff. It's more of a, hey, to find out more and to get more like this, go to my website. Or to find out more, go to my free Facebook group. Or hey, check out this product that helps make your life easier, that type of thing. So that's a piece of advice that I think is really actionable that you could do right now without any knowledge of marketing at all.
And the other thing that I always suggest to people is when you're making that list, write down literally everything that comes to your mind. I learned this from a good friend of mine that actually is a marketing director. And what we tend to do is qualify the list while we're making the list. And or we'll judge ourselves because as busy people, we have things that come through our minds. So like it's, oh, yeah, I got to run to the grocery store and get such and such. Write down every single solitary thing that comes to your mind until you're just empty. And then you can go back on the list and you can, you know, take the stuff like going to the grocery store, stuff like that, and put it on another notepad or something. But when we allow our minds to just totally flow like that, it really helps a person really get all the stuff out rather than, you know, you stop yourself at that thing that is outside of the sphere of what you're really thinking about. And you end up not getting to that one piece that's really the really juicy nugget that you really should have shared with the world, that could be all of the difference between where you are now and where you could be.
Yes.
Well, Jen, I can't begin to tell you how much we appreciate all that you do. MoPro is a wonderfully fun thing. There are many times when I'm sitting here working on a project while Kathy and her group were across the room, you know, doing their Zoom meeting or things like that. And I admit it, I've eavesdropped a couple of times. but it's really good practical things, and that's what I love most about what you bring to the marketing world is you skip through all the hype and you just really help people you know, really have practical step-by-step things that they can do to be seen, be heard, and I love this one, get paid.
Yes, well, thank you. And I love Kathy, and I love how she plays MoPro, and I'm excited that I'm going to be working, continue to work with her more into the year and collaborate on various things. And I love what you guys are doing in the world to help people get their platform and their voice out there by helping them, you know, do that through getting, you know, their bestseller done. And I think what you guys are doing in the world is just excellent. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Jen Kim, you can get a hold of her, jenniferkim.com. That's JenniferKem.com. And free stuff that you can start off with her. I love that. I think if we were going to give you another tip, that would be the other thing is, you know, give the people a little taste of something before you ask them to give them, you know, to give them your money.
Yes.
Well, Jen, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Thanks so much, Steve. It's been a pleasure.
You know, at the beginning of our discussion with Jen, I referred to her as the Yoda of marketing. And one of her hashtags that she uses actually is Princess Leia. It is so true. And Jen has so much to share with you. I really do encourage you to check out all of the things that Jen has available over at jenniferkem.com. JenniferKem.com. It really is worth your time. she's just one of the absolute greats when it comes to marketing your business. You will be glad that you did. I want to take this time right here at the end, like I always do, to just reach out to you. First of all, I'd like to invite you to come and join us at bestsellersguild.com. You heard Chevelle at the beginning of the show talking about her book, her bestseller, and it was something that we helped her put together. We love sharing people and their stories with the world. It's what just really gets Kathy and I up in the morning. It's what makes us work the long days that we do and travel all over the country, is because we know that you have something that's so dynamic, so impactful, and it needs to be shared with the world. I've talked to enough different people over the years and interviewed enough people that I know that we're always our hardest critics. We're always the most harsh on ourselves. In fact, the universal story with some of the greatest people I've had here on the show is, and then I came to that thing, and if I was afraid that if I shared it, that nobody would like me anymore. And that was the thing that made the breakthrough for my business. It took me to a whole new level in my company that I never imagined was possible. That is what your unique brilliance does for you. It skyrockets you into being the person that you were meant to be and having the life you were meant to live. We're all meant to live in greatness and to have wonderful, great lives. But we have to do it by embracing being the full us that we can be. We have a free group. You can join it by going to bestsellersguild.com. You can come in with us. We'll help you learn how to be able to be a bestseller. You can share in as other people take their journey and become bestsellers themselves. And of course, if you'd like to work with Kathy and I, we love helping people bring their bestseller stories to the world. We want you to know how much we really appreciate you, how much we appreciate the time you take out of your lives, out of your days, to invest in listening to Thriving Entrepreneur, to joining us in bestsellersguild.com, all of those kind of things, because we really do appreciate you. And we really love hearing your stories and helping to share those across the world with the world. So please feel free at any point to come and join us at bestsellersguild.com, because I want you to remember, you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose. It's not some accident. It's not random. The world needs you. You are so wonderful, so unique, so brilliant, and so needed by the world. And we really, truly want to help you thrive. If there's anything that Kathy and I can do, we would love to be able to have a discussion with you and talk to you about how we can help you thrive. So feel free to join us at any point. And until then, check out all the rest of our shows here on Thriving Entrepreneur, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.